Tell me about that encounter with Winona LaDuke in 1990, and what was it about her presence and perspective on the world that spoke so powerfully to you?
Well, we heard her speak at an Honor the Earth show up in Boston, and she really was just speaking on the indigenous perspective in the United States on the environmental movement and how important it was. And afterwards, we just started speaking together, and Emily and I had really been more or less working in a mainstream sort of environmental sector, not as grassroots, not as involved with peoples of color or indigenous people. And it just, for me, it dawned on me that really what she was doing was really effective and important and appropriate. And as far as environmental work, where I, you know, where we wanted to put our efforts. And so we just teamed up, you know, and formed Honor the Earth with a few other Native American organizations. And what we do is we just grant money to existing Native American environmental activist groups. So it's groups that already exist, and we're kind of like this bridge to the non-Indian community on some level. And also we raise awareness and the funds that support these. So we're sort of like an amplifier for what's being done.
How did that encounter, Amy was talking about it a little bit, about changing the kind of activist work that she wanted to do. How did it make you look at a different way of making a difference in the world, Emily?
Well, I think Amy spoke about how it's grassroots. It really was the way that the Native communities worked in their grassroots activism efforts. It was a very constructive paradigm for how to get change done. You know, I mean, a lot of these groups are working on a very, very small budgets. And yet they're winning these great battles, and they're always having to fight because the indigenous peoples are land-based, obviously. And now, native land sits on top of all this uranium and coal and other things. And there've been all kinds of environmental destruction that falls worse on native peoples than on any other population. And they have a message for us, the grassroots indigenous activists, on considering future generations in your decision-making. And they're land-based, and so I think they have something to teach us urbanites as well, who are so removed from where our power comes from, where our water comes from, the things that we eat come from. So I think the indigenous message was just very, we took it to heart, and it's something that Indian and non-Indians alike need to abide by. So. And now it's become our activist model.
Tell me about the different communities or venues that this kind of work has taken you into as performers. I was saying the last time that you folks played here was at the pier. So you're in some different settings.
Yeah, on the Honor the Earth tour, traditionally we play in like a city. And then in between the city shows where we're raising the money, we're going into an Indian community and usually doing a site visit for projects that we're funding. So we might go look at a wind turbine on Rosebud Reservation in South Dakota and see how it works. And then later on, we would go to the high school there and play for a bunch of high school kids who have no idea who we are. I mean, and they don't care. It's more just... It's just kind of figuring out where the communities are coming from, and that's why we're going there. Or we may be up in Alaska testifying in front of the Exxon Valdez sort of council that was trying to figure out how to spend the money from that they were awarded after the spill. And we were up there testifying on what we thought the money should be spent on as far as forest preservation. Hmm. Or we might be, on the Hopi Reservation, in one of their little villages looking at solar projects that we're funding, and then later on we would have a feast and play a few songs, you know. Or we were down in Florida and we played like around, just like outside in the woods for a very traditional group of Seminoles. So it's very, different than any other tour we do. Yeah. And it's very stripped down. You know, we don't have a tech with us, or we have like one person helping us out, and it's just, and it's lo-fi kind of all the way, and the community visits are pretty, they're intense, it's like a mixture of really depressing things that you're finding out and really exciting things because they're doing projects that work so well,
Let me get your perspective, Emily, on some of the encounters or folks you've met or just some of these settings that you get to
play. Amy covered a lot of it, and that's, I'd say that was pretty comprehensive. The interesting thing over the past tours has been that not only have we had the reservation visits and Indian community visits and met with a lot of leaders who are making great change within the communities, but we've also played urban venues, So in past Honor the Earth tours, we might play a show in a regular venue in a regular city and do that for the public, and then sort of act as a bridge between the Indian communities and the non-Indian communities. So there's a lot of interchange. Like in this particular tour, it's all the shows are all on college campuses, as far as the not the reservation visits and community visits, but the actual Honor of the Earth shows that happen on college campuses. So that's this is a great opportunity to dialogue, because there's Q&A during the shows. Winona speaks, we speak a little bit. It's a lot more speaking than our normal shows. So and play a little bit of music as well. So that's a great opportunity to mix it up in the non-Indian communities as well in the Indian communities.
We'll find out a little bit more about how these evenings unfold and kind of the difference that your work has made in some of these communities as we continue with the conversation. The Indigo Girls are live with us in our performance studio on the beat, and they've got the guitars, and they're going to do some music for us now.
Yeah, sure. They're going to do a song called Let It Be Me.